Okay, so this is April 21st, the second part of the class. Okay, the rest follow a similar pattern. So we have here. Now I'm at the bottom of page 56. Dvei ma bhikave parisa.
Dvei ma bhikave parisa.
Katama dvei.
Katama dvei.
Vagacha parisa.
Vagacha parisa.
Samagava parisa.
Samagacha parisa.
Okay, so here he's saying dvei is two, ima these. O monks, parisa assemblies. So again, there are, O monks, these two assemblies. Katama dve, what to? And then now the answer is different. It's vaga parisa means an assembly. Yaga means divided. So this is an assembly where there's conflict, divisions. And samaga parisa is harmonious assembly or unified assembly. So then we have the answer. Well, he raises the question. Katama chabikave. Now you can recite after me. Katama chabikave vagga parisa.
Katama chabikave vagga parisa.
Ida bikave.
Ida bikave.
Yasang parisayang.
Yasam parisayam.
Bhikkhu bandhana jata.
Bhikkhu bandhana jata.
Kalaha jata.
Kalaha jata.
Vivadapana.
Vivadapana.
Viharanti.
Viharanti.
Ayang vuchati bhikkhave.
Ayang vuchati bhikkhave.
Vagga parisa.
Vagga parisa.
Okay, so first he asks, and what, O monks, is the divided assembly? And then he gives the answer. First part is the same as the last one. Here, O monks, in whichever assembly, the monks, then we have the word bandhana jata. Bandhana means an argument. And jata, as a suffix, means something like become. Let us say we could say bandhana jata argumentative. So in whichever assembly the monks are argumentative, they're arguing with one another. And kalaha is a quarrel. And then kalaha jata means, we could say in normal English, quarrelsome. So where the monks are quarrelsome. Jung, right, yeah. Is it Jung or Zhang?
Jung,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And then vivadapana, vivada is dispute. And apana means fallen into. So they've fallen or they're involved with, engaged in disputes. And viharanti means they live or dwell. So in whichever assembly the monks are argumentative, kalaha, quarrelsome. They get involved in jung do sometimes. Do is like fighting.
Yeah.
And vivadapana. Vivada, similar word in Chinese. What is that? Zhengqiao, okay, Zhengqiao. Yeah, Chao, yeah. So arguing, fighting, quarreling. Okay, so then, ayam vuchati bhikkave vaga purisa. So this, O monks, is called the divided assembly. And actually, the way they form the sentences here, you see, yasang is the relative pronoun, and ayang is a demonstrative pronoun. So this should actually be, I would join it into one sentence. So here, O monks, in whichever assembly the monks are argumentative, quarrelsome, and engaged in disputes, this is called, O monks, the divided assembly. You know, putting it into one sentence with yasang parisayang, the relative pronoun in relation to ayang vaga parisa, the demonstrative clause. Okay, then we have the counterpart to this.
Pante?
Yeah.
This apanna, so that's a past participle?
It's a past participle.
Of?
The verb would be apajati.
Apajati.
Which takes on the meaning of being involved in, sometimes falling into. Sometimes it suggests something undesirable, like getting into like accidents or disaster.
One J or two J's?
Two J's. Apajati.
Thank you, Bhante.
And then from this also we get sotapanna, which is sota is stream, and apanna is entering into. So a stream, we say a stream enterer, one who has entered the stream. So in this case, it's entered into disputes. Okay, any other questions on this section? Yeah, Stephen?
I was wondering why in this group the verb viharanti is at the end, but in the previous group the honti is sort of in the middle of the adjective.
Let's see.
Look in the second.
Yeah, this is, I think, a stylistic matter, really, rather than a matter of strict grammar. Sort of a feature of Pali would be, or at least when verb hoti is used often, so it also happens with other verbs, when there's a string of adjectives, they'll put the first one in front of the verb, then the other adjectives or descriptive terms after the verb. They could have even done it here. It would have made good sense also to say, Ida bhikkhave yasang parisayang bhikkhu bandana jata viharanti kalaha jata vivada panna.
Okay, thank you.
But I think probably it's because of some phrase that was omitted here that makes it more desirable to have viharanti at the end. You see, there are the three dots, which means something was left out. Of course, maybe it's more complex grammatically.
Is this text in verse, or is this
prose? No, this is prose.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what does prose mean?
Prose, verse is, you know, like poetry, and prose is just ordinary, you know, straight text, not put into verse. Okay, so, excuse me? Did somebody say something?
You mentioned the bandana jata.
Yeah.
Is it a compound sentence?
This is a kind of compound. There's the word bandana, which I think means argument, and then it has the suffix jata. So jata, how to put this? It means something like become, involve with, of a type, of a kind. And so that's why I say, in English, bandana would be like argument, and bandana jata would be argumentative, those who get involved in arguments. And then kalaha is quarrel, And kalaha jata would be quarrelsome. We don't have the same word. We don't have argumentsome and quarrelsome, or argumentative and quarreltive. We have to use different words, but in Pali you could use the same suffix, jata. Okay, let us go on to the next. This is the counterpart of that. So here we have, again, I'll recite and you repeat. Katama cha bhikkhave.
Katama cha bhikkhave.
Samagga parisa.
Samagga parisa.
Ida bhikkhave.
Ida bhikkhave.
Yasang parisayang bhikkhu.
Yasang parisayang bhikkhu.
Samagga.
Samagga.
Samodamana.
Samodamana.
Avivadamana.
Avivadamana.
Kirodaki Buddha.
Kirodaki Buddha.
Viharanti.
Viharanti.
Ayang Vuchati Bhikkhave.
Ayang Vuchati Bhikkhave.
Samagga Parisa.
Samagga Parisa.
Ima Ko Bhikkhave.
Ima Ko Bhikkhave.
Dve Parisa.
Dve Parisa.
Okay, so he begins with the question, and what, O monks, is the harmonious assembly? And then he answers the question, here, O monks, in whichever assembly the monks are. Okay, samagga means harmonious. Then samodamana, it's, you could recognize in, you take, just put aside the sum, and we have modamana, or moda, which is related to mudita. Mudita is joy, particularly altruistic joy. So this is what grammatical form, samodamana. Yeah, this is the present participle. So this is, you say, mutually rejoicing in one another. Or we could say mutually appreciative. What do they give? In agreement, on friendly terms, rejoicing together. Okay, that's a good phrase, rejoicing together. This would be, I think, a Chinese xiangxi or sui xi. Yeah. Xiang Sui Shi. Okay, then avivadamana, again, is present participle, and this is, it's just the negation of vivadapana. So this is not disputing, present participle. So the verb for to dispute is vivadati. And the noun, a dispute, is vivada. So the quarrels or the divided monks are said to be vivadapanna, that is, engaged in disputes. Whereas the harmonious monks are said to be avivadamana, not disputing. And then the next phrase is a very beautiful idea. It's called Kirodaki Buddha. Now, this comes from the word Kira. Does they have Kira in the glossary?
Yes. Kira.
Oh, yeah, they give the full explanation. So, Kira is milk, and Uraka is water. You see, they have water on page 60 up on the top. So this is literally, it's milk, water. So uraka is water. Then because it's being joined with buddha, so the final A becomes an I, and buddha means become. So they, literally it's they've become milk and water. And the point here is that when you take milk and water, and mix them together, then the milk and the water blend together. There's no, you can't separate the milk and the water. And this is sometimes contrasted with putting oil in water. When you put oil in water, the two remain separate. They don't blend. But there's said to be, the legend is that the particular kind of goose, the Hangzi, this is the white goose, is able to, when you mix milk and water, it's able to drink out all of the milk while leaving the water behind.
and the sutras are?
I think this is an Indian tradition. I'm not sure if that's referred to any place in the suttas. Maybe in the Jatakas? I'm not so sure. Okay, so in this case, the monks are, they've become like milk and water. Now they blend together harmoniously. And so then all of this would go, actually, again, I would put ayang vuchati bhikkhave sammagga parisa in the same sentence. So in whichever assembly the monks are harmonious, mutually rejoicing together, not disputing, blending like milk and water, this is called, O monks, the harmonious assembly. So these are the two assemblies. Any questions on this so far?
Yeah, and just one little question. So why we here, instead of using avivadapana, why we're using avivadamana? Like, if we compare the...
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm just... Maybe because a dispute is something you... it would make logical sense to say avivadapanna.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just easier to say not disputing.
Yeah.
They could have said viva... They could have also said, instead of saying vivadapanna, they could have said vivadamana, disputing. Maybe just stylistic variation. Okay, let's do the next one. Okay, we don't have to do the first two sentences, but the difference here is visama cha parisa.
Visama cha parisa.
And sama cha parisa.
Sama cha parisa.
Okay, the word sama literally means something like even or smooth, but then it takes on an extended meaning of being righteous. Sama, or proper and righteous, and visama as being unrighteous or improper. Like visama ground, sama relating to the ground would be like smooth ground, and visama would be bumpy ground. So this would be like the smooth assembly and the bumpy assembly. This is a bit more complicated than the previous one. But anyway, let's take it. Okay, so kattama cha bhikkhave visama parisa.
Kattama cha bhikkhave visama parisa.
Ida bhikkhave yassang parisayang.
Ida bhikkhave yassang parisayang.
Adhamma kammani pavatanti.
Adhamma kammani pavatanti.
Dhamma kammani na pavatanti.
Dhamma kammani na pavatanti.
Avinaya kammani pavatanti.
Avinaya kammani pavatanti.
Vinaya kammani na pavatanti.
Vinaya kammani na pavatanti.
Adhamma kammani dipanti.
Adhamma kam kammani dipanti.
Dhamma kammani na dipanti.
Dhamma kammani na dipanti.
Vinaya kammani dipanti.
Abhinaya kammani dipanti.
Vinaya kammani na dipanti.
Vinaya kammani na dipanti.
Ayang vuchati bhikkave.
Ayang vuchati bhikkave.
Visama parisa.
Visama parisa.
Okay, so he asked, first he asked, and what, O monks, is the bumpy assembly or the unrighteous assembly? And then comes the answer. Again, it's a series of clauses. So here, O monks, in which assembly? Then we have Adhamma Kamani Pavatanti. So Adhamma would be contrary to the Dhamma, and Kamani would be actions. And it's generally, this would be referring to procedures, like monastic procedures, which are contrary to the Dhamma. And then the verb pavatanti means to occur. They give the meaning proceed, to go on, or occur. So in whichever assembly, actions or acts contrary to the Dhamma go on, occur, proceed. And then Dhamma kammani na pavatanti, that is, actions in accordance with the Dhamma do not occur. And notice here we have the negation na plus pavatanti, the verb. But then for ease of speech, when you have the na connecting with pavatanti, what happens is that the na and the p combine. And then because this p, you see the Sanskrit form is pravatanti. Vartanti, pravartanti. So the R that's sort of suppressed in Pali pops up when you combine it with N. It pops up by duplicating the P. You don't really have to worry about that, but just when you see something like N pavatanti, in looking up the dictionary, don't look under N. Don't look up nupavatanti, but know that, recognize this is n plus pavatanti. So you would look up pavatanti or pavatati. Okay, so in whichever assembly non-dharma acts occur and dharma acts do not occur, then the next one is avinaya kammani pavatanti. This would be acts which are contrary to the vinaya, to the discipline. So non-vinaya acts or non-disciplinary acts occur, and vinaya kammani, those would be acts that accord with the vinaya. So acts that accord with the vinaya do not occur. And then we have the next one, Adhamma kammani dipanti. So dipati originally means to shine. Well, you could say, and then this is a passive form, to appear. So we'd say that forms, non-dharmic acts appear, and dhamma kammani nudipanti, acts that accord with the dhamma, do not appear. And then we have the next, avinaya kammani dipanti. Non-vinaya acts appear, and vinayakamani nadipanti. Acts that accord with the vinaya do not appear. So all of this is describing that kind of assembly, yasang parisayang, in which assembly, and then comes the conclusion, this is called, O monks, the bumpy or unrighteous assembly. So here, O monks, in whichever assembly non-dharmic acts occur and dharmic acts do not occur, in which non-vinaya acts occur and vinaya acts do not occur, in which non-dharmic acts appear and dharmic acts do not appear, in which non-vinaya acts appear and vinaya acts do not appear, this is called, O monks, the bumpy or unrighteous assembly. And then the next one, we don't have to read it out loud because it's just the same words again and just explained in the opposite way. So, and what, O monks, is the smooth assembly or the righteous assembly? Here, here, O monks, in whichever assembly dharmic acts occur and non-dharmic acts do not occur, acts based on the vinaya occur and non-vinaya acts do not occur, where dharma acts appear and non-dharmic acts do not appear, where acts in accord with the vinaya appear and acts not in accord with the vinaya do not appear, this is called, O monks, the smooth assembly or the righteous assembly. Then just the conclusion, these, O monks, are the two assemblies. Any questions on this?
Bhante?
Yeah.
So it looks like the only difference is like occur versus appear, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much just stating the same thing in using different words, a different word. Any questions on anything covered so far in this section? Okay, then I think we'll stop for the day, and then we'll pick up next week. Let's see, next week is the 28th. Yeah, so we'll have a class next week. We'll finish the further readings in Lesson 4 next week. I want to go over the glossary. I have some changes in the additions in the glossary. So you look at your glossary. This is starting on page 59. Okay, going down, first we have Anuttara. You see, they give incomparable and excellent. Literally, it's Uttara means something higher, and Anuttara means with nothing higher. So this could be also rendered supreme or unsurpassed. Then the word Amita is, or amatang, they give ambrosia or the deathless. You see, the verb marati means to die, and mata is dead, and amata is the negation of that. So it comes to mean the deathless, referring to nibbana. But the word amrita, or the Sanskrit form amrita, also came to refer to a drink of the gods, which we call ambrosia in English. And then this is how you get in Chinese ganlu.
Oh, ganlu.
Yeah, so the Chinese, when they come across, the Chinese translators would render amrita, the deathless, as ganlu. Ganlu means something like the dew that forms on flowers early in the morning.
Right, and then it tastes smell. It tastes sweet.
Yeah, sweet, yeah. Sweet, so that's like ambrosia. Yeah. So it seems that there's a play here between these two meanings. And then also you get that same play with amata padda, which they give the region or place of ambrosia. But it's also the deathless state or the sphere of immortality. Okay, then the word asava, they give, okay, the original sense is that which flows out or onto. Clinging is not so good. Desire, not so good. But it's hard to find a really good rendering for asava. This is the Chinese lo.
Oh,
lo.
Okay. Lo, okay.
Yeah. Mm. But we use English translators different. It's sort of something more specific. Defilement is more like fun now.
Oh, yeah.
So following the Nyanamoli used taints, and in my translation I followed him by using taints, but it's not so literal.
I think in our Abhidhamma Avatara class in Manhattan, we have this.
You probably, I'm sure you.
Flow.
Excuse me?
I think.
Yeah, we have asava.
Yeah.
And it's somehow not clear if it's an influx or outflux.
Right. Influx, outflux,
yeah,
flow.
Yeah.
Bhante Dhamma. The majority translate as to flow, as flowed, or influx.
He would use a noun, maybe influx.
Yeah, influx or outflux.
Yeah, one could take it as flowing either way.
Yeah.
Is this sometimes rendered as fermentation?
I think some have rendered it fermentation.
But I never understood how that lines up with this.
I think because it was a meaning that the word might have acquired in India. It's mentioned as a possible explanation in the commentaries. But if you want to be closer to the original sense, it's what flows in or what flows out. So influx or effluent.
Yeah.
Effluent is what flows out. Influx is what flows in. Okay, then turning the page, indriya, they give faculty sense, but it's important to bear in mind that there are two sets of indriyas. One is the five, or actually the six sense faculties, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And then there's the five spiritual faculties. That's faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. Then going down, they have ekagga citta. They give concentrated mind or tranquil mind, but more literally, ekagga means one-pointed. So ekagga citta is a one-pointed mind or a unified mind. Then going over to the next page, niramisa, They just give not characterized by or not comprising a misa. For a translation, one could try non-carnal or even spiritual. Like sometimes they speak about niramisa sukha. It means like non-sensual happiness or spiritual happiness. Then for pumutto, they give one who is lazy. I don't think that's such a good rendering, but rather they give also not diligent, but I would render either heedless or negligent. Then for Pakat Indriya, go down. They give of uncontrolled mind, but it's actually, since Indriya is faculty, so it's more literally of uncontrolled faculties. Of course, it's the mind that controls the faculties, but to be more literal, we would say of uncontrolled faculties. Okay, then going to the next page. Okay, for Vinaya Kamma, they give ethical activity, but it's more like a technical term of an act that is based on or in accordance with the Vinaya as the code of monastic discipline. And then going down further for sammaga, they just give being in unity, but to have a good adjective, we could say harmonious. Then for samahita, they give collected, composed, settled, attentive. But you bear in mind that samahita is, it's a past participle related to the noun samadhi. So you could say concentrated. Then going down further, they have sammisa, which they say with, characterized by, or having amisa. Not all that helpful. So you could say carnal, worldly, or sensual. And then for sasava, they say with, having, or characterized by asava. Again, not all that helpful. So you could say with, either with taints, with influxes, with effluence. And then the word salo, they give rock, but salo, it doesn't mean like the rock that you take up in your hand, but it means a mountain of rock. So I think that there are some, maybe some verses from the Dhammapada.
It's like crag.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just as a salo, one solid mass is not stirred by the wind. So it's not talking about, well, of course, even the rock, little rock on the road isn't stirred by the wind. But they're speaking about the mountain, the rock mountain. Okay, that's it. Okay, so we'll end for the day, and we'll end with three bows to the Buddha. It's a little hard to get the picture. Okay, one bow, two bows, three bows.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.